This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air, Linda Cohen joining you. Polycystic ovarian syndrome, or PCOS, also known as Stein-Leventhal syndrome, affects one woman in every 10. It can even affect girls as young as 11 years of age, and it's the leading cause of infertility in women. We'll hear with more on this common endocrine disorder affecting women is Heather Shannon. She's certified nurse midwife at Upstate Medical University and the director of Upstate's midwifery and gynecology. Welcome, Heather. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Linda, for having me.
Let's begin by defining this disorder, also known as polycystic ovary or ovarian syndrome, PCOS. What exactly is it?
Well, there really isn't a specific definition out there. However, it is a makeup of symptoms that make up this syndrome. So the biggest irregularity or problem that we note with polycystic ovarian syndrome is menstrual irregularity and androgen excess in women.
So let's get back. Androgen is a male sex hormone. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So there, when you say in excess, women do have some, most women do have some degree of androgen.
Yes, we need androgens such as testosterone in our body to work in harmony or symphony with our other hormones.
But in this case, there's an excess.
We produce too much of it with polycystic ovarian syndrome in most cases.
So then what happens? I mean, when we say polycystic, are there cysts? What is exactly happening in our ovaries?
So each woman is very different in terms of how they will display their symptoms of polycystic ovarian syndrome. It is common to have multiple cysts on your ovary or ovaries, which is found on an ultrasound. There is no other way to find out about these cysts other than through an ultrasound examination. Typically, you need to have approximately 9 to 12 little cysts within your ovary, and they actually call it a string of pearls. So if you ever get a chance to look at the ultrasound images, you will actually see what looks like a string of pearls within the ovary.
And that prevents ovulation? These cysts are actually, I mean, they actually do something to prevent ovulation? Or are they a byproduct of this hormonal imbalance that creates the problem?
So it's a combination of the both. So when your hormones are not functioning correctly, such as having too much testosterone within your system, and you have these multiple cysts within your ovary, it does prevent ovulation. And that's when you become anovulatory, which then goes with the irregularities in your menstrual cycles.
So these little follicles, in the standard ovary, you have these ovarian follicles, and they fill, in this case, they fill with fluid in preparation for ovulation, but then since you don't ovulate because of this hormonal imbalance, they become cysts.
They become cysts, yes.
So, I mean, basically, as you said, the kinds of things, how would you know that you have this problem? First and foremost, you would have amenorrhea, in other words, post your age of menses, you wouldn't be ovulating and you wouldn't be having periods. Is that correct?
Correct. That's one of the criteria. You would have something called oligomenorrhea, which means very, very light menses. Maybe it lasts for a day or less. And then the other part is the anovulation, which causes amenorrhea, which means you may not get a period for 3 months at a time. That is one of the criteria that's needed for the Rotterdam criteria.
To make the diagnosis.
The other one would be hyperandrogenism. Tough word to say, but basically it's some tests that we can do to determine if you have too much of a testosterone or androgens in your body, as well as based on symptoms that women may pose, such as increase in facial hair, such as increase in acne within the face, the chest, the back.
So all of those things, I think that's also under the topic of what they call hirsutism, or increased growth of hair in places that most women wouldn't necessarily have.
That is correct.
So what are the consequences? We've obviously talked about infertility as a major consequence, but are there some other secondary consequences in terms of overall health concerns?
Yes, definitely. With polycystic ovarian syndrome, it is linked to a lot of women with obesity. With obesity, there's a lot of health issues that go along with that. But when you have polycystic ovarian syndrome on top of it, you do have problems with diabetes, type 2 diabetes, as well as cardiovascular problems, such as hyperlipidemia, which means high cholesterol.
And also hypertension, high blood pressure?
That is correct, yes.
So basically, it goes along with it may not be the cause of, but it basically goes along with these other very serious consequences. So early, it would seem that diagnosing it or finding out if you have it early on is very important.
Very important. That is correct, Linda.
So do we know what causes this? I mean, and who would be most at risk?
So really, we don't know everything about what causes this. Like I said, it's a makeup of different symptoms and syndromes. There have been some studies that show that if you have a sister that has polycystic ovarian syndrome, you are 40% more likely to have polycystic ovarian syndrome in your lifetime. As well as if your mother had polycystic ovarian syndrome, you have approximately 10% risk of developing the same syndrome. And you do not have to have the same body makeup, the physical body makeup as your family members. You do not have to be obese. You can be thin and you could be healthy and still have polycystic ovarian syndrome.
So it does run in families.
It can run in families, correct.
So that might be a clue if you know someone in your family. In this case, as you said, it passes down, I understand, either from the father's side or the mother's side, but specifically in higher amounts from the mother's side, whether a mother or an aunt or a sister has it, you might want to be more on the lookout for it. And so it has to do with this hormonal imbalance in the body, and they don't exactly know why there's this hormonal imbalance, but that's really the source of it. Is that right?
That is correct, yes.
So if you're just joining us, by the way, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with certified nurse midwife Heather Shannon, and we're talking about polycystic ovarian syndrome. So you mentioned before how it's diagnosed, and there are certain criteria, these so-called Rotterdam criteria. How does somebody get the diagnosis? I mean, what kinds of testing do they need to go through to know?
First and foremost, if you are a woman with irregular cycles, you do need to go to your provider, your OBGYN, women's healthcare provider, and have a complete exam. The other part of that is some blood tests, as well as an ultrasound to evaluate your ovaries. In terms of the blood tests, you want to evaluate your hormone levels. You want to make sure that they are all in sync, or if not, what's abnormal, and that determines how we need to take the next steps to treat you.
So you'd go for a pelvic exam, perhaps, to start, and then you'd get blood tests, and then, if necessary, some kind of an ultrasound.
Correct.
To take a look at the ovaries. And as you said, then you would find those so-called string of pearls.
Correct.
And then you'd know you had it.
Yes.
So, okay, so now you have it. Let's say, and it's causing you great distress, obviously, especially if the issue is fertility. What kinds of treatments are available? Is there any cure for this?
In terms of cures, there are no known true cures. However, there are options and treatment options that are available depending on your specific situation. If you are trying to get pregnant, then you do want to work on ovulating. So remember, we talked about anovulation, which means you're not ovulating monthly. There is medication that's out there that we could give you to help you ovulate. There are fertility specialists that can work with you on that, as well as endocrine specialists within Upstate that can help you with this, reproductive endocrinologists. So Clomid is one of the medications that's used to help stimulate your ovaries to ovulate. Hopefully before you have decided to become pregnant, you have made some lifestyle changes, because that is very important. Before we start putting you on certain medications, try to have a different lifestyle of activity, as well as clear eating or clean eating habits, I should say, and making sure your blood pressure is all okay, as well as your glucose tests.
So some of those earlier things I mentioned, those other confounding health problems that come along with this, need to be addressed in some sense, either in advance of dealing with the infertility, or at least at the same time.
That is correct.
So you would want people to be looking at their diet, if they're obese, to try to address that as well. If there's diabetes involved or any of these other issues, those things would have to really be addressed in addition to looking at just dealing with the fertility issues.
That is correct. The other options are, if you are not able to control your glucose, meaning that you are hyperinsulin, maybe too much insulin in your body, and maybe you're pre-diabetic, there are medications that you can take, such as Glucophage or Metformin, that will help control this and help with the symptoms of pre-diabetes. With controlling your glucose levels, usually weight loss goes with it, because you're eating better and exercising a little bit more. You're paying attention to better health habits. when you start to lose a little bit more weight, naturally our body can start to ovulate on its own, and maybe we could avoid infertility medications. The other option is, if you are not looking to get pregnant, you are having irregular periods, maybe once every 3 months or just a little bit of spotting, putting you on a hormone such as a birth control pill would be beneficial to help control the hormone levels as well as the symptoms. So if you do have extra facial hair or hair on your chest, if you have pimples, being on a birth control pill is okay. However, you have to be a candidate to take the estrogens.
So basically, there are many, many different ways of treating the symptoms, but you never really can solve the underlying problem. But in your experience, what have you seen with these patients? I mean, can they go on and have normal pregnancies and normal births and all of that?
In many cases of patients of mine who have had desire of pregnancy, were able to achieve this with some help if they were not able to achieve this on their own. And we do give them a set time limit to try on their own, six months, 9 months. And if they don't achieve or they're not successful in pregnancy, that's when we can step in and assist them with this.
Are there surgical interventions as well that they might do to help people with this disease?
There are surgical interventions, and one of them is to actually remove the little cysts in the ovaries. It does occur, especially if you're having a lot of pelvic pain. You've got to think, if you have a lot of cystic areas in your kit, in your ovaries, you could have some increase in pelvic pain. And this has been shown to be successful with many women.
So overall, I mean, in your own experience, first of all, I mentioned at the outset that this is a commonly occurring endocrine problem, and it happens. You can start to see it as young as 11, because they're probably not able. They would ordinarily be menstruating, and they're not menstruating. What, in your experience, what have you seen as the natural course of events with this whole disease?
Many of us don't pay attention to our symptoms. We think of it during our teenage years as this is common. We are supposed to have irregular periods, and we don't find out until we're ready to get pregnant sometime in our 20s or even early 30s. Usually at that time, there are other comorbidities found with it, such as the high cholesterol, such as the blood pressure issues, or maybe even the prediabetes if not a diabetic. So I think at a young age, especially in the preteen and the teen years, we don't look at it seriously enough, or at least consider it to be an option with irregular menses. Again, because it's expected when you're a teenager that we don't ovulate every month. At this situation, or in this, if you have a child who you are concerned with, take that child to your pediatrician and offer polycystic ovarian syndrome as being a possible option for irregular menses, or even premature pimples or facial hair or the obesity. And there's other symptoms that go along with polycystic ovarian syndrome, such as a darkening of the skin around the neck, around the underarms, or in the folds of the skin. So if your child is starting to display some of these symptoms, it's important to make sure that the pediatrician evaluates this.
Well, very, very important, interesting information, helpful information. And the point is, there is help out there, and there are different treatments. As you said, you basically treat the different symptoms, but you can be successful in doing so.
That is correct.
Thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate it. My guest has been Heather Shannon, certified nurse midwife at Upstate Medical University and the director of Upstate's Midwifery and Gynecology Program. I'm Linda Cohen. You're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.